Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good morning, Washington, D.C. What up, what up, what up, everybody? Time to get up and at 'em. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio, and we are live and local here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and also available on 910 The Fan in Richmond. And today marks the NFL second season, the 2024-2025 NFL postseason, as we get geared up for playoff football today, with the games today, tomorrow, and Monday night. I did want to talk about how we got here, and where we can go from here, Commanders fans, Commanders Nation, because I do want all of the Burgundy and Gold fans to be on the same page heading into Sunday night football. And that is, number one, we need to celebrate this accomplishment of making it to the playoffs. Entering the dance and getting an opportunity for a rematch with the Bucks. 18 other franchises are finished. We get one more week of watching our boys play. That's to celebrate that accomplishment. Several teams are looking for a new GM, a new quarterback, a new coach. Washington has all three in place, and that's number two. Everyone needs to be on the same page about it, which is the Washington is set up for, I believe, regular season success for the foreseeable future with the current GM, coach, and quarterback in place. So win or lose on Sunday, this is just the beginning. And win or lose on Sunday, we do need to celebrate the accomplishment of achieving the goal of getting to the postseason and winning 12 games for the first time since 1991. Phone lines are open throughout the show. 1-800-636-1067. We'll go behind enemy lines today with J.C. Allen, Bucks reporter. You'll hear from my legend of the game, former Bucks quarterback, former Commanders quarterback, and Super Bowl winning quarterback, Brad Johnson, as well as AWOD's keys to victory and pathway to success. If you'd like to chime in throughout the show, we'd like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You could tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio, AWADDRADIO, or at 1067 The Fan. And I'm so looking forward to this Sunday Night Football, Commanders versus the Bucks. But you guys know I like to start the show by talking about the biggest sporting news on the top of my mind. And although it's college basketball season, I'm locked into hoops, NFL wild card weekend, I can't stop thinking about that fourth down last night. Texas versus Ohio State. Shot at the college football title game on the line. Quinn Ewers sacked, fumbles, it's returned for a touchdown, and that's your ball game. Ohio State will face off against Notre Dame. I have thoughts on the entire college football playoffs, the inaugural 12-team college football playoffs this season, and I want to get into them right now. Max, did you watch that game last night? Did you watch it down to the final play?
Of course I did. Both the semifinal games this week were riveting.
Both semifinals were awesome. It got everybody fired up for, obviously, playoff football, but meaningful football here in January. And just the win-or-go-home attitude, right? I mean, that's just it changes the game. Everybody starts getting nervous late in that third and fourth quarter there because, you know, this could be the last game of your season. I think what surprised me was that Ohio State won this game more with their passing attack than their rushing attack. Travion Henderson, who's from Hopewell, Virginia. I've covered him since moving here to Richmond. He was a star in this area and then, of course, went to Ohio State. And he was great in the quarterfinals. In the semifinals, held to just 6 carries for 42 yards. I think he went up for like a buck 60 in the quarterfinal game, Max. And the backup running back, Judkins, only had 36 yards, but they were able to win it with Will Howard throwing the ball for most of this game, 24 of 33 for 289 yards, and he did outduel Quinn Ewers of Texas, who was 23 of 39, had 2 touchdowns, but the costly interception in this game, and even more costly, the fumble that he lost that was recovered by Jack Sawyer, who they kept saying was roommates with Quinn Ewers from his time at Ohio State. Quinn Ewers said, screw you, to Jack Sawyer when they walked off the field, and Ohio State celebrates as they clinch a spot in the Monday, January 20th college football championship game. It'll be Notre Dame against Ohio State. So I was rooting for Texas, to be honest with you guys. I picked Texas to win it all back at Football Festival in August, hook 'em Longhorns, and I really thought that they had a shot coming into this game if they were able to limit the Ohio State rushing attack. But to be honest with you, and Max, you could chime in here, it just felt like Ohio State had the upper hand the entire game. Texas was battling back. They tied at 7. First play is the screen pass to Henderson, goes 75 yards for a touchdown, but Ohio State's back up. Texas ties it again. Ohio State goes right down the field and takes the lead. It just felt like Texas was playing from behind this entire game. I never thought they really had a true shot of winning it.
I kind of agree, but at the same time, Ohio State was not doing themselves any fit. They kept shooting themselves in the foot time after time, and coming down towards the end of it, they had a shot.
Yeah, they did. Texas was 5 of 15 on third down. Ohio State was 3 of 10. So both teams were awful on third down. Ohio State, though, 1 of 1 on fourth. Texas, 1 of 3 on fourth down. So Ohio State, look, they earned this. And to be honest, I think they played probably the toughest, you know, three-game stretch to get here, right, as they had to take on Tennessee. A lot of people said, oh, Tennessee's the sleeper team out of the SEC. I know people that picked Tennessee to get to the championship game. Nope, Ohio State blows them out 42-17. Well, that's the rematch against Oregon, the one that was 32-31 in the regular season, and Oregon had a full week off to prep for this game, and then they didn't show up in the first half. Ohio State's all over them, 41-21. The defense was terrific in that game. And then coming into this game against Texas, I just felt like the momentum was on Ohio State here. They've got such great play from their defensive line, and their offensive line protects Will Howard, and they're able to run the ball. I think they're the most complete team in football this season. I think they're going to beat Notre Dame. Now, it should be a really close game, and let's talk about that game for a second here, because Notre Dame defeats Penn State 27-24 behind Riley Leonard's 15-23 for 223 yards, 2 interceptions, but a key touchdown and an even more key touchdown on the ground as he went to the locker room and had a concussion protocol and then came back out after the break and was spectacular. And Penn State completely botched this game, Max. Do you feel that way? That Penn State, James Franklin will not be able to sleep much this week knowing his team completely botched that lead.
No, he's not doing himself any favors with the can't win the big one narrative either.
Yeah, right? But they just, they were all, like, I was telling my friends, the first quarter of that game was so boring, I thought, right? I'm in for defensive football in the NFL, not defensive football in college football. But then it got going in the second quarter. The fourth quarter was electric with 31 points being scored, and Penn State had the ball back, and they were driving, and Drew Aller threw the terrible interception. Notre Dame got the short field, the field goal, and they win it 27-24, setting up next Monday's championship game of Notre Dame versus Ohio State. My thoughts on the inaugural 12-team college football playoffs. Number one, I do think you need to expand the field. If Notre Dame's one of the best two teams in college football, how'd they lose to Northern Illinois? Let's expand the field. Let's let more of these mid-major teams in. Maybe you will get more upsets. I love the format of college basketball. You guys know I'm all in on it being field of 68. I would be fine with it being moved to a field of 96 and having it down to 64 after just an initial round of 32 teams playing against each other to get down to 64. I think it's great for college athletics. Obviously, there's a lot of money in college sports now, but think about how many kids play college sports and graduate without playing a meaningful game, right? Because they were on a bad team, or they never got to their conference championship game, or they never got to a bowl game or a tournament game. I'm all about expanding the field, and I do think that it would be beneficial for college football to expand the field and start it earlier. Max, did you gain anything from watching the championship Saturday this year? I really didn't. I know you had the Georgia-Texas game. You had the Penn State-Oregon game. SMU, Clemson, both those teams got in. In the end, did we really gain anything from the college football championship week, or could we have moved everything up and started the inaugural 12-team playoffs a week before?
It definitely feels like it's running a bit long, but yeah. At the same time, like, Clemson definitely benefited from playing in their championship game, so I don't know. There are a lot of teams that are on the bubble, like come down to championship Saturday, that are proving their case for one final time make it in.
I mean, Arizona State, Iowa State ended up being a blowout in favor of Arizona State. They were in. Did they really deserve to get a bye? That's the other part of this.
That's
one thing is you have to change the home game to the second round or make no home games. I get it. It's a great environment for a home game, especially like one at Penn State hosting SMU. And that was awesome, a whiteout and things like that. But I just think if you want more parity, you make it a neutral site game here. Why did they earn a home game when they didn't even win their title game this season, right? So Penn State loses to Oregon. Penn State gets the home game. They advance. Oregon has a neutral site game. They lose to Ohio State. Right in the Rose Bowl there. So I do think you have to change the home game to the second round or just make the entire thing all neutral site games. I'd be fine with expanding the field, but start it earlier is one of my biggest takes here. I don't believe that this narrative to the SEC is overrated, right, because they didn't make it because they were awful in the college football playoffs. They weren't that good in the bowl season as well this season. I will say, though, the quarterback play from the SEC was not good in the postseason. And we talked about this yesterday on my show that Quinn Ewers needed to be spectacular. He needed to have not a good game, a great game for Texas to have a chance to win that game. 23 of 39 for 283 yards and interceptions. Not a great game, also considering he fumbled the ball there on the final play of the final drive. Ohio State picks it up and returns it for a touchdown. If you want to chime in, if you want to make changes to college football playoffs or give us a preview, your thoughts on Notre Dame versus Ohio State in next Monday's finals, it is 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Commanders.com has three keys to Washington advancing past Tampa Bay, and I completely agree with their three keys. I'll give out my keys to victory later on the show today, but they point to getting pressure on Baker Mayfield. That is obviously so important when you think back to week one and the matchup against the Bucs. I believe Joe Witt Jr. said to the media this week he believes his team had five sacks that Baker escaped out of, and they only actually had one sack on the night. Tampa Bay brought down Jaden twice in that loss, 37-20. But he is experienced. He's definitely got experience in the postseason. He won a playoff game last year. He even increased his touchdown ratio, right? I mean, last year we all thought it was great, 28-10. Now he gets 41 touchdowns to 16 interceptions this season. But he has just this ability, almost like Tony Romo, where he really does feel the pocket pressure really well. And he can kind of slide step here or maneuver this way to get away from pressure. And he keeps his eyes downfield. And he's such a gamer. He is such a gamer. You know that you could have two hands on him. He's going to try to, you know, escape that. He's going to try to spin off it or something. So it is going to be so crucial that they get after Baker Mayfield. Number two, Commanders point to avoiding pressure from Tampa's defense. And I also could not agree more. I am worried about Vita Vea in the middle. Hopefully Tyler Biadasz will be full go on Sunday dealing with that ankle injury. But Tampa Bay knows how to pressure, and they've got a big guy in the middle at D-tackle. You know Todd Bowles is going to send blitzes from all over. He's going to be able to confuse Jaden Daniels with his blitz packages. It's just he's that good. And so I thought it was very important that Cliff Kingsbury knows that he's got to have hot routes ready for Jaden. And I know that when I was talking to Cliff Kingsbury this week, talking to Craig Hoffman this week, he mentioned that Cliff was talking about in his press conference that him and Jaden knew they had to be on the same page in finding the hot route and giving him plenty of options to get rid of the ball quickly in case the Bucs blitz is successful. And I do think they're going to be able to. I think they're going to be able to frazzle him. Because as much as I love Jaden Daniels, an incredible rookie season, maybe the greatest in NFL history, and I'd argue he's not a rookie now because he's played a full regular season, this is his first NFL postseason game. And it is on the road. And it's Sunday Night Football. It's a hostile environment against a talented Bucs defense that's good on all three fronts, D-line, linebacker, and at the safety and secondary position. So I do think that they're going to be able to get after Jaden Daniels a little bit. That's why, for this game plan, Washington's got to protect him, but they also need to take some pressure off him by running the football with B-Rob and Austin Ekeler. As we look at takeaway number three here for the Commanders to get the win, according to Commanders.com, get the run game going, right? I could not agree more. And I need the run game going, not named Jaden Daniels. Jaden will find ways to run, all right? Jaden will run when they call a pass sometimes because they'll just scramble and take off. Jaden will run when they call the quarterback design runs, right? And sometimes when they call an RPO, he'll decide to keep it himself. He's going to find a way to get his carries, probably 8 to 12, right? But can we simply do like an HB dive to B-Rob and get 4 yards? Can we do some kind of a counter to Austin Ekeler and get 4 yards? Can we line up under center, snap the ball, and get a first down on 3rd and 1? Because at times this season, we haven't been able to do that, right? On the road against Philadelphia. Even the first drive of the game against Philadelphia at home, right? We were stuffed. If we cannot turn around, put the ball in the gut of our running back and pick up a third and short or a fourth and short, we're not going to win this game. It's as simple as that. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. My initial thoughts on this matchup are thank you. Thank you, L.A., for losing that game to Seattle. I do think that L.A. is more talented. Obviously, the quarterback matchup, Matthew Stafford's a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. He's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. He's a gunslinger. I do think that the combination of Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua is probably better than what the Bucs have as well. So thank you to the L.A. Rams for losing to Seattle. That's my initial thought on the matchup. Number two is, I know I'm fired up for a rematch. I'd love to hear what Jaden Daniels truly thinks of getting an opportunity to get revenge on probably his worst game of his NFL career so far. Either that or at Philadelphia. Oh, yeah, he got revenge on that with 5 touchdown passes when they came to Washington. So you know Jaden's going to be fired up for this one. Also, I do think an underrated storyline of this is that Dan Quinn had all of his success as a head coach in the same division as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with the Atlanta Falcons winning that division, leading them to the Super Bowl. Year after year, they were a staple at the top of that division, and now he gets to go against that division again as the head coach of the Commanders against Todd Bowles. You got the storyline that Todd Bowles won a Super Bowl in Washington. That's why he called them the Redskins when he was getting geared up for the Week 1 matchup. So those are some of my initial thoughts on this matchup here. But I do love getting a rematch against the Bucs. I think that's perfect. I think it's a great storyline. And it's one of the reasons the NFL chose to make it the Sunday Night Football game. You know, get your popcorn ready. Marshawn Lattimore versus Mike Evans. That's who's going to probably fight and throw some punches. Get your popcorn ready for Jaden Daniels and Baker Mayfield in probably a high-scoring affair, a bit of a shootout on Sunday Night Football. We'll go through the Commander strengths, the Buck strengths, my thoughts on the coaching matchup, the quarterback matchup, and each team's weakness coming up next. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. I was reading an article this morning about Dan Quinn being the best first-year coach of all the first-year coaches in the NFL, and although Harbaugh of the Chargers also did receive a grade of an A by CBS Sports, they didn't replace as many people. And that's what's so cool, what Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have done here in just 1 year in Washington, is they changed the culture, they flipped the script, and they got everyone to buy in day one and to believe in something, and to believe in something. And Dan Quinn told the media before the season that each week we will vote for captains, and when we make the playoffs, we will vote for a postseason captain. So each week they had week-by-week captains, and he said before the season, when we get into the playoffs, we will vote for our postseason captains. They have voted Terry McLaurin, Bobby Wagner, Jeremy Reeves, and Zach Ertz, your 4 captains for the postseason for the Washington Commanders. I love those picks right there. Obviously, Terry McLaurin, 13 touchdowns, franchise record, and he said it on the final play, basically, against the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody made more of an impact on the defensive side of the ball this season as a newcomer than Bobby Wagner. Zach Ertz, big touchdown catch against the Eagles, big touchdown catch against the Falcons. Just has been Jaden's best friend, right? Second on the team, I believe, in targets this season. He's going to be crucial on Sunday as well. And then Jeremy Reeves, your special teamer. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Time to get up and at 'em here on a Saturday, January 11th, just after 9:30 a.m., and we're previewing the Commanders against the Bucs for Sunday Night Football. And I did want to start with the Bucs' strength. The Bucs' strength this season, I do think, look, that's a good defense. That's an offense that can beat you with the ground and pound. Bucky Irving has gotten much better throughout the course of this season. He's now their lead back. But I do think the Bucs' strength this season is Baker Mayfield's ability to make a play when one's not there. And when you watch Bucs games this season, there's several times a game in which it's third down or could be second down and doesn't look like nobody's open, but he gives Mike Evans an opportunity with a jump ball, right? Or he kind of throws it to the outside of the receiver where only they can make a play on the ball, or it's incomplete. He gives his receivers an opportunity. Or he'll escape the pocket and find Jalen McMillan for the first down. And I just think he has this major underrated ability around the league of being able to escape pressure. And we talked about this story from last season earlier this year, in which the Bucs were down at the break at half, and Baker Mayfield told all of his teammates that he knew the signs the defense were doing. He could tell what meant blitz and what meant what, and the Bucs came back and won that game. And all of his teammates were calling Baker a football savant. You can really Google this story from a year and a half ago. He's criminally underrated in my mind. He had a ton of success with a dysfunctional organization with the Browns. We were talking about this week with Michael Phillips. Who do you compare Baker Mayfield to? I think he's similar to like a Jared Goff. Like he can win you a big game. He can win you a big game. He's going to win you double-digit games in the regular season if he stays healthy. But I think his biggest strength, the Bucs' biggest strength, is his ability to make a play when one's not there. Here's Joe Witt Jr. talking about the keys to containing Baker.
Just like I said, you have to treat him and hit him like he's a running back while he's in the pocket. Understanding that, all right, when he's outside the pocket, he doesn't get the protection. But when he's in the pocket, we got to stay shoulders to thighs, all right? But we have to go in there and hit him like he's a running back. If we go in there and hit him like he's a little quarterback, you're going to come off. And then he has a good job of sliding up and out, and he's keeping his eyes downfield. I know he does scramble, but he's scrambling to throw. All right, he's just playing high-level ball. And so, we just got to get him on the ground.
That's so crucial right there. They got to get him on the ground. He's able to slide up. You know, he's able to get away from an arm tackle. He's not the biggest guy, but he plays with a big heart, and he's a gamer. He gets up for these situations. It's going to be tough containing him. They're going to need, like he said, to treat him like a running back and bring him down Luvu. You know, two hands on him, bring him down in the backfield. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. What are your thoughts on this matchup? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to B in Haymarket. What's up, B? B, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, whenever we have a big game or any game, it always comes down, this is football, it comes down to tackling. You got to wrap up. You got to gang tackle. And it comes down to turnovers. And it also comes down to blown coverages. And I think if we can, you know, contain the blown coverages and keep that out of the equation, if we can wrap up, whether it's a running back or whether it's a tight end in the flat, if we can tackle well, and if we can hold on to the ball, I'm not really worried about it because we got five, man.
I see what you're saying there. The turnover battle is certainly going to be a crucial one. I'm a little worried because Jaden Daniels is playing his first playoff game. I could see him having a mistake, and that's why I need our defense to step up here, and I'm looking at the secondary to create a turnover.
You can say that, but he's played in big games before. And he's not typically a person that's going to put the ball on the ground. I just think we can keep it close and don't have any explosive plays against us. I don't know what everybody's worried about. I think we're trying to strategize this a little bit too much. It's football. You tackle, you catch the ball, you hold on to the ball, and you be where you're supposed to be.
I see what you're saying, but I would counter by saying that Jaden Daniels recorded three fumbles the last time they played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Luckily, his team recovered all three, but you can't say he doesn't put the ball on the ground. It's going to be a tough matchup here for him in Tampa for his first playoff game. As much as I love the way he's played throughout the season, he's still a rookie for a playoff game. He will be a rookie. Appreciate you chiming in, B. Let's talk about the Commanders' strength throughout this season. I do think the biggest strength of the Commanders, so the biggest strength of the Bucs, I think, is Baker's ability to make a play when one's not there. The Commanders' biggest strength has been playing with a lead. They're one of the best football teams in the league when they're playing ahead, and it has been on display throughout this season. You look at that Bengals game, they got an early lead, they held on to it. They needed a drive down the field to win it with a touchdown, they did. Wire-to-wire victory against Arizona, Cleveland, Carolina, right? They held on to a lead for a lot of that Steelers game. Steelers came from behind. But you see how this team, when they are able to take a lead and then get the ball back and their offense has a chance to make it a two-score lead, they've been able to do that most of the time throughout this season. You think into the Tennessee game, boom, quick turnover, 7-0, they got the ball back, 14-0, right? Then they made it 28-0. This team has been at its best when they're able to take a two-score lead. When they're able to play with a lead, and then it makes Jaden Legs even more dangerous because, oh, you're handing it to B-Rob. Everyone thinks you're running out the clock. Boom. All right, you fake it around, and Jaden's got space on the outside to either make a throw or pick up a first down with his legs. I do think the Commanders' biggest strength has been playing with a lead. You look at this coaching matchup here, you know, it is a battle of two defensive-minded coaches with Todd Bowles and Dan Quinn. I do think on the defensive side, though, you know, Todd Bowles gets the edge. Todd Bowles has been accredited around the NFL as being one of the best blitzing coaches in the NFL. His defenses have been top-notch year after year. They play violent, just like, you know, Joe Witt Jr. likes to play. They're able to pressure the quarterback, and I do think that that's where this matchup could come down to. Which team's blitzes are more successful? Which team blitzes and gets burnt? Because you know that's going to happen at least once or twice in this game, where either Jaden escapes a pass rusher, and all of a sudden, there's plenty of room. And he's got a 4-on-3 numbers advantage to take a deep shot down the field. Or it's on the other side, that Frankie Louvu just misses Baker Mayfield. He escapes the pocket and has the numbers on his favor. This game is going to be one in which one of these teams are able to escape the pressure. I do think there's a chance that this ends up being a defensive battle, and I do think that favors Washington. I know everybody's been talking about how they believe this is going to be a shootout, you know, a 34-33, and give Jaden the ball on the final drive, and they like his chances. I do not want to play a shootout against the Bucs in their house when they won a playoff game last year. They've got one of the best offenses in the league, and Baker scored 41 touchdown passes this year. 41 touchdown passes. As good as Jaden's been, I think Washington's best chance to win this game is below 25 points. In fact, the stats would agree. Washington is 10-0 on the season when the opponent scores 24 or fewer points. The problem is the Bucs are 9-1 when they hold opponents to 23 or below. So the Bucs want to keep this a low-scoring game. I think the Commanders' best chance is to keep this a low-scoring game. Get the ball back into Jaden's hands with it being like 17-14. I love our chances in that situation to go either get a field goal sent to overtime or a touchdown to win it. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Tony in D.C. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, I'm trying to figure out how are you going to say you can't say he doesn't put the ball on the ground because he did it three times when you're talking about his first career start versus where he is now? That's like apples and oranges. You can't even use that stat.
Oh, 100%. You're right. But, Tony, you're telling me you think – hold on, Tony. You think Jaden Daniels not going to make any mistakes in his first ever playoff game on the road, Sunday Night Football? He's going to be Jesus?
Hold on. I don't know if you follow college football, but the games he's played in college – it's going to be way bigger than this wild card game that you're talking about right now in Tampa Bay. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people in one building at LSU. Not even close. I've been to all of the college games. I've been to all the Redskins games this season, away and here. And it's not even close to what LSU environment is in a bowl championship in college. This is not too big for Jaden. I think that's just a talking point people like to have when they go there, rookie.
Tony, I will buy in. Tony, I will buy into what you're saying. Hold on, Tony. I will buy into what you're saying that he played high level college football, and that's the reason he had success right away in the NFL as a rookie. And I agree with you. 5 years of college football helped him step into the NFL, and all of a sudden he's not playing like a rookie. He looks like a vet at times, and he's won 12 games. But this is not the regular season, Tony. This is the postseason.
5 years of college. I'm not talking about 5 years of college. I'm talking about the bowl games. LSU, college football championship, 100,000, it's way bigger than a wild card game. Way bigger than a wild card game. The only thing you could compare to that bowl game would be the Super Bowl. Not even close. And this game is real simple. It comes down to one thing. We're talking about all of this because we want to have something to talk about. If our secondary does not show up, and we can't stop the run, the same thing.
Why does our secondary matter if Jaden Daniels is going to throw 5 touchdown passes and win this game easily?
Because Baker Mayfield is going to throw 5 of them too. That's the whole point. If our secondary doesn't show up, it doesn't make a difference. Every game we've played has been the same all year. Stay close, and try to go point for point. If our secondary doesn't show up, Evans and Baker will torture us. Lattimore will take care of him, but we need to be able to stop the run, because if we don't stop the run and can't stop the pass, it's going to be a long day. It's been the same all year. Our offense will show up. Our secondary and run game defense is the only thing we need to be talking about in reference to this game. Can the secondary cover, and can we stop the run? If we can do those two things, we get a win. If we can't, we come out with an L.
All right, Tony, I hope and I pray that you're right. I hope and I pray that you're right, and Jaden has a great game. I would just remind you, he did not look good in the first half against Dallas. But, hey, that was 1 week. That was last week. Let's move on. I'm hoping for a win, Tony. I want him to throw for 5 touchdowns. I want to win easily. I want to win this damn game. I just don't think it's going to be that easy for Jaden Daniels. We got to run, take a quick commercial break, Tony. Appreciate you chiming in. Mark, Mike, Alex, we see you guys on the line. We'll take more of your phone calls next on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to A-Wide Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980. Got you covered on both ends of the dial and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at AUDACY. Commanders travel to Tampa to take on the Bucks for Sunday Night Football in a rematch from Week 1 of the 2024-2025 season, in which Tampa won 37-20. And the nightmare scenario in that game was the fact that Tampa Bay went up 13-0. They got a 3. The defense did the bend but don't break bit. They got it back because Washington went 3 and out. They got another 3-6 and then made it 13 because Washington's offense couldn't get going. The good thing is Jaden Daniels and the entire offense have grown since Week 1. I would argue the defense is much improved as well, especially with the addition of Marshon Lattimore. The Bucs are also improved. They've gotten better throughout the course of this season. Bucky Irving has gotten going for them. They're starting to get healthy on the defensive side of the ball. It should be an awesome matchup for Sunday Night Football. There's a reason the NFL chose to make this their marquee matchup on Wild Card Weekend. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. How much has Jaden Daniels grown since Week 1? Let's take a listen to his offense coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury.
Everything, really. I think just understanding the system. You know, the first game, we didn't know what we were or who we were, what he was. And so even me calling plays and understanding how to put him in better situations to be successful, and all the skill guys. How do we use this guy? So we've evolved a bunch, but I think you just watch his game and the way he played that first game. I mean, the very first pass he threw for like minus 20, like a backwards pass. And he's just come a long way. So it's a lot of hard work, a lot of mental reps. And so I'm anxious to see the second time around, you know, how far we've come as an entire unit.
I think you got to give Cliff Kingsbury a ton of credit for the way he's been able to grow with Jaden Daniels. And the two have continued to meet throughout the season and talk about what things they think work in the offense and what doesn't work. And two, how do they grow Jaden's strengths even more by sticking with the stuff that he's been good at. It's going to be important that they're on the same page on Sunday. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Mark in Landover Hills. What's up, Mark?
Good morning, A-Wad. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm excited for Wild Card Weekend. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and the same with me, my friend. The same with me. But I've got to say this, Adam. You know by now that I bleed burgundy and gold like you. But I've got to say, with this game coming up, they are up against it. Because they cannot let, like one of your previous callers said, they cannot let the machine get going. It is incumbent upon Joe Witt and them to do their job, cover their gaps, and they need to dial up the pressure however it needs to be done. The guys they paid on the defensive line need to dial it up, and believe you me, the linebacker, Frankie, and those guys, and good old Waggy, man, they need to get in there and rattle his cage some, because if they let him get cranked up, with the way our defensive backfield's been playing, even with Marshawn Lynch, they're going to have a really tough time, Adam. The defense cannot let the machine get going.
Mark, how do you feel about Jaden Daniels in his first postseason game?
Adam, I kind of agree with what you and the guy bantered back and forth about with the college football bowl games and the pressure and everything, because that's not really what it comes down to, pressure. It's the situation you're in, where you're at that time. You know, even though he's played in those bowl games and everything, you gotta remember, man, it's a different deal. It's different every time. Sure, those bowl games are going to help him, but he still knows what's at stake, and he still has a burning desire to win, or he wouldn't have entertained us the way this year that he has. Don't you think, Adam?
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Mark. Good call. I appreciate you chiming in. Let's go to Peter in Wilmington, line four. Peter, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, Adam, great show. Listen, I agree with everything you said, and no one knows how this game is actually going to turn out. But for me, in my opinion, we need to let Jaden loose. You know, whatever he can do, and leave him play his game. And number two, you know, the defense has really gotten good in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important also. But the most important thing for me is we can't make any mistakes. We need the kicker to make all the field goals and all the extra points. We need not to fumble. We need not to give up any short fields. Do good on special teams. This is a classic game where a team like ours, which is a pretty good team, and I might add, won two more games, you know, than them. They're not that. They're a little inconsistent, Tampa Bay. They lost to Atlanta twice. So, you know, I'm just saying it just. I think we just can't make any mistakes. That's the big deal. No turnovers. No fumbles. No penalties. It's got to be a clean game for us to win.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you. I think Jaden's going to be a little nervous. I mean, you have to be nervous. This is the whole city, the whole country that roots for the Commanders is on his shoulders, and he knows that. He's a smart kid. But, you know, let him be Jaden. That's my thing. And you got a great show. I love listening to you every Saturday. I really do.
Yeah, appreciate that, Peter. Thanks a lot. And you're, look, like, I'm not saying Jaden's going to be nervous, but there's going to be pressure because the Bucs know how to bring it. They know how to bring the pressure. Good call, Peter. I appreciate you chiming in. I'm really looking forward to this matchup, Sunday Night Football. But I think Peter made a great point there. And, you know, the Commanders need to play a clean game, right? So throughout the three-game losing streak, I went to war with negative plays. And I can tell you from my research that the negative plays got up and up and up. It got worse and worse and worse. Against the Steelers, Eagles, and then Cowboys, they gave up 6 tackles for loss, 8 tackles for loss, and then 9 tackles for loss. And that means that basically a 1st and 10 handoff to Brian Robinson became 2nd and 11. That's number one on negative plays, is eliminating the opposition getting tackles for loss. They can't live in your backfield. How do you do that? The offensive line needs to step up and not let them through any gaps so they can create tackles for loss. Number two is the sacks. And those certainly crept up against the Steelers and then against the Eagles. That's a negative play that can completely disrupt a drive. Number three is the penalties. And that's the one thing that they can control, right? Sam Cosmi knows they're going to call that chop a holding now. I can't do that. I got away with it earlier in the season. They started calling it in the later part of the season, right? Ineligible man downfield. The penalties are the things they can control, and then the last negative play that they cannot have is the drop passes. If you clean up the negative plays, penalties, drops, sacks, and the opposing team getting tackles for loss, you should have a chance to win this game on Sunday on the road against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We are live and local here until 12 noon. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.